Being now nearly 14 years of age, my father and mother had long been planning and consulting what business it would be best to put me to. Any place where I could see pictures, or where I thought I could have an opportunity of drawing them, was such only as I could think of. The year 1767, during the summer, William Beelby and his brother Rolf took a ride to see their intimate acquaintance, Mrs. Simons at Bywell, who was my godmother and the widow of the late vicar there. She gave them a most flattering account of me, so much so that they all set off that afternoon to Cherrybourne to visit us and to drink tea. When the Newcastle visitors had given an account of their paintings, enamelings, drawings and engravings and so on, with which account I felt much pleased, I was asked which of them I would like to be bound to, and liking the look and deportment of Ralph the best, I give the preference to him. Matters bearing upon this business being slightly tacked over, and my grandmother's having left me £20 for an apprentice fee, it wasn't long before something of a good understanding between the parties took place, and soon afterwards went to Ralph Beelby upon trial. The 1st of October was the day fixed upon for the binding. The eventful day arrived at last, and a most grievous day it was to me. I liked my master, I liked the business, but to part from the country and to leave all its beauties behind me, I can only say that my heart was like to break. I inwardly bid farewell to the Winnie Wilds, to Mickley Bank, the Stobcross Hill, to the water banks, the woods, and to particular trees, and even to the large hollow old elm tree which had lain, perhaps for centuries past, on the half near the ford that we were about to pass, and had sheltered the salmon fishers while it walked there from many a bitter blast. This old tree was swept away by the great flood of the 17th of November, 1771. We called upon me much esteemed schoolfellow Kit Gregson at Ovingham, where he and his father were waiting to accompany us to Newcastle, all on the same errand. We were both bound that day. At the parsonage gates, many of the old neighbours were assembled at the churchyard wall to see us set off and to express their good wishes. And among the rest was a good, sensible old woman of the village named Betty Kell, for the purpose of giving both of us her blessing, and each a penny for good luck. And this being done, our horses were mounted, and we commenced our journey. The first jobs I was put to do was blocking out the wood about the lines on the diagrams which my master finished for the ladies' diaries on which he was employed by Charles Hutton, and etching sword blades for William and Nicholas Oley, sword manufacturers at Shotley Bridge. Our workplace was filled with the coarsest kinds of steel stamps, pipe moulds, bottle moulds, brass clock faces, door plates, coffin plates, bookbinders, letters and stamps, steel, silver and gold seals, mourning rings, arms, crests and ciphers on silver, and every kind of job from the silversmiths, writing, engraving of bills, banknotes, bills of parcels, shop bills and cards. But what he most excelled in was the ornamental silver engraving, and in this, as far as I'm able to judge, he was one of the first in the kingdom, and I think, upon the whole, he might be called an ingenious, self-taught artist. I think he was the best master in the world for learning boys, for he obliged them to put their hands to every variety of work, Every job, coarse or fine, either in cutting or engraving, I did as well as I could, cheerfully, but the wearisome business of polishing copper plates and hardening and polishing steel seals was always irksome to me. I had wrought at such as this a long time, and at the coarser kind of engraving, till my hands became as hard and enlarged as those of a blacksmith. I, however, in due time, had a greater share, and a better and nicer work given to me, such as the mottoes on rings, and sometimes arms and crests on silver, and seals, for which I made all the new steel punches and letters. We had a great deal of seal cutting, in which my master was accounted clever, and in this I did my utmost to surpass him. While we were gunning on in this way, we were occasionally applied to by printers to execute woodcuts for them. In this branch, my master was very defective. He didn't like it. Such jobs were given to me, and the opportunity this afforded me of drawing the designs on the wood was highly gratifying to me. It happened that one of these, a cut of the Georgian dragon, attracted so much notice that this kind of work greatly increased upon us, and were followed by cuts for children's books, chiefly for Thomas Saint, the printer of Newcastle. My time now became greatly taken up with woodcutting. Design for the Storyteller, Gay's Fables, and the Select Fables, together with cuts of various and similar kinds for other printers, were thought so well of by my master that he, in my name, sent impressions of a few of them to be laid before the Society for the Encouragement of Arts, and I obtained a premium. This I received shortly after I was out of my apprenticeship, and it was left to my choice whether I would have it in a gold medal or in money, 7 guineas. I preferred the latter, and I never in my life felt greater pleasure than in that of presenting it to my mother.